Hi, it's Mark Bittman. Welcome to Food. As always, you can reach us at food@markbittman.com. We'd love to hear from you with questions, answers, suggestions, whatever. Please subscribe to this podcast and rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you, seriously.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Have you ever bought something, owned something that really inspired you to up your game? A tennis racket, a new pair of running shoes, a new piece of cooking equipment that made you just want to cook your brains out? I know that when I first started cooking on induction burners, I just couldn't stop. It was so much fun. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Some of the features that are available on this car include Dynamic Sky Panorama Glass Roof, Front Row Massaging Seats, you know you want that, available 33-inch all-terrain tires, which you will want when you check out the Multi-Terrain Select. These are really great features, the kind of features that will make you proud and happy to own a Lexus GX. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. There are a couple things that we all hear routinely all summer. Complaints or enthusiasm about how hot it is and disbelief about how quickly the summer goes by. Well, it's practically done, and I feel a little like George Costanza in that Seinfeld episode about the summer of George. This was supposed to be the summer of George! But fall is a favorite for many of us, especially on the East Coast for obvious weather-related reasons and also for the fresh beginnings it also seems to bring. And with those new cooking opportunities, it is the best season for cooking, as we all know. It's the time for an abundance of vegetables, a lot of fruit, different schedules, the ability to start braising again without suffering. So we thought it'd be nice to get together a few of our favorite home cooks for an episode about home cooking. The challenges, the wins, the ingredients, the memories, the improvisations, the frustrations, and so on. So here we are, me and Kate, and then Kevin Becerra, our wonderful family friend, and the risotto king, Holly Haynes, who many of you know from her incredible Instagram photography and recipes and her work on our team. And Lavin Merez, who works at Christian Dior by day and cooks like a madman the rest of the time. Lavin's been on our podcast before. It's a joyful bunch, and you'll be able to tell easily how much fun we had. Here we go.
We're here with three of our favorite home cooks, Holly, Lavin, and Kevin, in no particular order. And we usually ask at the end of the podcast what you had for dinner last night, but I was just thinking because I had a really weird lunch, and it's just past lunchtime East Coast and just past breakfast time West Coast. Before we talk about home cooking in general, let's talk about what we just ate. Holly, you start.
My friend Logan has a brunch spot here in San Diego called Freshman Year, and it's sort of like 90s nostalgia brunch themed, if that makes any sense. So today he did a smoked brisket crunch wrap with collard green chimichurri and hash browns and arugula. And that's what I had for breakfast.
I mean, that sounds pretty good.
You already win. Great. Kev?
For breakfast this morning, because I wake up late, so breakfast and lunch are always kind of one meal. There's a local chain of coffee shops in Boston called Pavement, and they're always a student favorite. And this is like the last week you can go anywhere that students like to go. So I went to Pavement and I got just a classic lox bagel with onions and capers on everything. And said goodbye to Pavement until May 2023.
I was like that when I grew up in New Haven. I never wanted to be anywhere near Yale when school was in. Lavin, I know you had something crazy.
No, I literally didn't. So as you guys like may or may not know, I'm actually on vacation right now. So I'm in the Russian River right now with friends. And one of my buddies that is here from LA brought Clark Street Bakery like pastries. And it's like a really... like it's an organic, amazing, like, you know, blah, blah, blah bakery in LA. Actually, to tell you the truth, I've never walked in that place, but I've had so many of their pastries and they are so good. They do these cinnamon rolls that are amazing, blah, blah, blah. Well, this morning I had a ginger lemon scone and a cup of coffee. I just slathered butter on it as if it needed more butter, but whatever, who cares?
Well, I'm sick.
Sorry.
But because of my dedication to this podcast, I'm here anyway. Maybe I have a cold. Maybe I have COVID. But I had to make myself chicken soup because, you know. So I had in the freezer 4 drumsticks and I threw them in the Instant Pot with carrots, a lot of carrots, some celery. This is actually interesting. Some carrots, some celery, some cherry tomatoes because they're there. And I did that. It was really good. But then I put a handful of this Korean sweet brown rice that I have that I like to keep around. I put a handful of that in there and it tasted like, then I pressure cooked it again for like 3 minutes and it tasted like I'd put butter in it. It was amazing. It was so delicious. So that's all I'm eating today.
All right. Thank
4 chicken drumsticks and water with carrots and celery, basically, and brown rice.
I had the weirdest lunch. I had a tomato because who doesn't have tomatoes right now? And I sliced it up and do not judge. I don't have any bread. I put it on rice cakes with canned mackerel and olive oil and sea salt, like lots of salt and mayonnaise.
I'm not
so
mad.
Weird.
Not mayonnaise.
So
mad.
Weird.
I love it.
Mayonnaise, tomato. Wild Planet sardines, we assume, mackerel.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It was Wild Planet anchovies.
Wow.
And olive oil. Oh. Yeah. I have so much canned fish and I love it. And I'm probably going to get mercury poisoning at this point, but it was here and I'm really trying to use what's here and not buy stuff, do takeout as much. So there you have it.
Love it.
So we want to talk about what your biggest challenge in the kitchen is. Like some people hate washing dishes. Some people waste a lot of food and don't like to do that or are very challenged by that. Some people don't want to shop. Some people feel like their technique sucks. Panicking about getting everything on the table at the same time is pretty common. Or panicking about whether people are going to like it, even though everybody always likes it when anyone cooks for them. People should know that. But that was always my hang up. But it turned out that you don't have to worry about that. So who wants to go first? How about Laven?
Okay, so it's not like, it's more of like an isolated event that happened to me recently. But I tried to make cacio e pepe recently and it was a disaster. I'm so glad I was by myself. But the cheese all clumped up together. And then I'm sitting here with this like spatula in the pan and I'm smashing the cheese down and I'm rubbing it in the water and I'm adding pasta and I'm rubbing it down. And I'm just like in a panic, like, what am I doing wrong? Like, this is the easiest thing ever. But it goes to show that like in cooking, there are certain techniques that you have to do to kind of get to the end game. And it's super important. So and that's the other thing I love about cooking is that it's kind of more of you learn as you go and you're gonna mess up here and there. You know, it's terrible, but you know, you're learning. It's a whole learning process. So now I'm like, what am I gonna do next time? Am I microplaning the cheese? Like how am I gonna make this cheese creamier so it doesn't clump up?
We'll post a recipe with this podcast and you can try following it.
I think he did use your recipe, didn't you? It's not the recipe. Nope. Cacio e pepe is just, I have such a hard time with it too. It's very temperamental. I'm sure Holly doesn't have a hard time with it, but whatever.
I've never made it.
I could see Holly making like cacio e pepe scones and they would be incredible.
Cacio e pepe scones.
Hold on a second.
Black cocoa, cacio e pepe.
Squid ink, cacio e pepe.
You could do like a savory cacio e pepe scone with tomato soup would be like so cool.
I will go in the kitchen right now.
This is incredible. This is happening.
Okay.
Now we're just going to watch Holly cook for an hour.
I mean, what I panic about in the kitchen is phone calls like this where people tell me my recipes don't work.
Oh my God, I can't.
Try it again and let it be known that Holly has cuttlefish ink in her refrigerator. We just witnessed it. What's your particular challenge?
I don't know. I don't know how to grocery shop like a regular person. Like, do you shop once a week and like get a whole bunch of stuff and then you cook that food? Because yeah. I don't know what that means. I shop almost every day. Like, how do you know what you want to eat in 3 days? That's weird.
I'm with you there.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, I go to the store almost every day. Is it convenient? No. Does it save me money? Also, no. It's a terrible way to live and not a smart way to exist, but that's where I'm at. I don't know how to grocery shop.
No shame to people who meal plan, but like when I see people making like big vats of food on a Sunday to eat every day, ew. I'm like, just kill me.
Yeah,
like,
no.
I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it.
I do
absolutely
that.
Not.
Oh. Well, I mean, Holly,
I freeze
like,
a lot of like, it.
I agree with Holly because it's like every once in a while you're like, oh, I want tagine. And then there's something that's missing in there. Like I need harissa or I need whatever. So you go to the store and buy it. So it's like I'm almost at Trader Joe's in Los Feliz every day.
I'm also a dry ingredient hoarder. So I have pretty much everything else in the pantry. Last count, I had 15 types of flour. So I'm a little bit extra. When it comes to that, I have that too.
And I also have like way too many vegetables and then the CSA comes again. So now I take last week's vegetables and do something with them, the ones that are left. And then I freeze that. And I figure in February, I'll be really happy I have it.
Hmm. Kevin?
My thing is all about cooking for groups. Like I become a different person if I'm cooking for more than three people. Dear, dear best friend Emma can tell you, I have like yelled. I don't experience anger. It's not a thing that I do really, but I get so anxious about all of it, about timing, about is it going to taste good, about when are people getting here, about can I like be entertaining and pouring wine while standing over the stove and doing things. I think it started college graduation party. A bunch of friends and I threw a party together for our families who were in town. And I was in charge of making like a big pot of Mexican rice, which I make all the time, but I'd never made for 20 people. And I burned the shit out of it. Like it was like completely inedible. And my mom had to go to Panda Express because it was the closest thing that was open and bought a bunch of individual containers of white rice to eat at this graduation party. It was terrible. And I think that's my PTSD. Like since then, I just get so cagey about cooking for parties.
Wow.
Thank you for hearing my trauma.
If you really, really don't feel like cooking, what's your backup? I'm guessing none of you do frozen meals, but I do.
I wouldn't be so quick. I wouldn't be so quick to guess.
Okay, because I do have frozen meals from IPSA, which is this amazing company that's in the tri-state area right now. And it's all like really good ingredients and it heats up really well. And it's honestly, it's better than what I cook. So I do that maybe like once every couple of weeks. But what do you guys do?
I sometimes do cheese and crackers.
Classic.
But usually if I don't feel like cooking, I wind up cooking something anyway. Like I'll say I'm not going to cook anything and then I'll cook something. So then it's not that different from when I intentionally cook something.
Yeah.
Usually I cook something. We have no takeout here, as you know. Like we only do ironic takeout. We can do ironic Chinese takeout. We can do ironic pizza. We can do ironic Thai takeout. The Indian restaurant is a little higher quality, so it's not ironic, but it's still not like craveable. So I don't know what you call that. It's like you don't make fun of it. Like the pizza you make fun of. You're like, I'm never going to have pizza again after this, that kind of thing. So we do about once a month, maybe once every 2 months, we break down and order something. And then we think, oh, we're never going to do this again. And then,
you know, yeah.
Time goes on and you forget.
I will tell you, I always have stuff in the kitchen for carbonara. It's just, oh, I always have eggs and I always have it. And sometimes I don't even add like a pancetta or a bacon or a prosciutto like I usually do. I will just do the egg and cheese mixture with a shit ton of pepper and call it a day. So
you're halfway to cacio e pepe.
Hey, I was going like to say, you're making cacio e pepe.
I know, but like, my God. I've got to get it together, guys.
I really believe in you.
Holly?
I am a fan of the frozen dumpling. I love a frozen dumpling.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes I will order the spicy garlic noodles from the spot down the street and then steam the dumplings. And then by the time the noodles get delivered, I can just throw the dumplings on top. It's a thing that I may do often. But yeah, frozen dumplings. That's my go-to.
Yeah.
And bagged salads. I also love a bagged salad. It's lazy.
The bagged salad that dressing, they don't have dressing on them.
Yeah. Not all, it's a little.
Oh, they give you a packet.
Inside. Yeah. And then you like,
they give you a whole packet of like salad toppings. There's like a crunchy nut, a tortilla strip, a bacon bit.
I do that at Trader Joe's all the time.
Yes.
Holly.
Yes.
Wait, do you use the dressing? Because I can't, at this point in my life, I've moved past a pre-made dressing. I can't do it.
There's only one dressing that I like, and it's the sweet onion dressing. I don't really mess with any of the other.
Oh my God. Now. What was the farm?
The something sunflower farm. Crunch. The sunflower crunch.
Yes. Oh my God. I'm dying.
I got to get on this back salad life.
Please. Sunflower crunch. Okay.
Sunflower crunch is so good. Kevin, get
please,
on it.
Please. Please.
Stop screaming at us and get on it.
I'm just going to yell into my sunflower crunch and that'll bring me solace. Honestly, the only thing to keep me through the winter. I was saying I work in Chinatown. And so there's like great options for frozen dumplings. And they're like three bags of 40 dumplings for $15. And so in the winter, it's like a constant flow in my freezer of frozen dumplings into the steamer basket. And then I make like, I batch dumpling like dipping sauce with like black vinegar and a bunch of ginger or whatever in the little squeezy bottle and just keep it in the refrigerator door. And that lasts me like for a while. And then when it's warmer out and I don't feel like steaming in the apartment, my go-to delivery is sushi, which I didn't know really was a thing until I moved to the East Coast. When I moved to the East Coast, and the first time somebody was like, do you want to get sushi delivered? I was like, sushi doesn't work like that. I don't know why you would say those words to me. And now I can't tell you the last time I sat down in a restaurant for sushi. It just magically appears on my door.
On the opposite end, when you feel like you have nothing in the house, but you absolutely have to cook, what's your go-to dish to make out of the few ingredients that you do have? I guess we kind of already know Laven's answer to that.
I think I kind of, I got the questions wrong. So I guess that's my fault. I guess really quickly, I have a McDonald's app. So there's that. It's messy. But sometimes I'm just like, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, beep, delivery. And it's like there. And then the nice lady hands it over the gate. And I'm like, good, no one can see me. Hi. There it is. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know that's bad. And I read your last book. I shouldn't be eating McDonald's. I
would kind of like that better than salad with pre-made dressing, to tell you the truth. But yeah.
The shade.
Wow. There is no shade, Holly. I love that. Wow. But there are times where I'm just like, I need like chicken nuggets and french fries. And I'm a sweet and sour girl. So that's always good.
I'm just really happy that you felt comfortable enough to admit that. And I want to thank you because this is a tough crowd. And
it's like standing up and saying, my name is Mark and I order McDonald's.
I know it. You know what? I want to bring my true self to all of you guys.
Okay. When I have to cook and I look, I pretty much always have the makings for a puttanesca. So that's a real go-to for me. And then I don't know. I just love a can of chickpeas, and I'll like saute them or eat them out of the can like a monster. Or I don't know. It's been like a go-to for a long time. I'll throw anything in like sauteed chickpeas with a bunch of arugula, and I usually have a block of feta laying around. So yeah, I don't know what it is. I love those little garbanzo guys.
Same.
They're so fun.
Yep, they're the best, and they're really cute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Have you ever bought something, owned something that really inspired you to up your game? A tennis racket, a new pair of running shoes, a new piece of cooking equipment that made you just want to cook your brains out? I know that when I first started cooking on induction burners, I just couldn't stop. It was so much fun. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Some of the features that are available on this car include Dynamic Sky Panorama Glass Roof, Front Row Massaging Seats, you know you want that. Available 33-inch all-terrain tires, which you will want when you check out the multi-terrain select. These are really great features, the kind of features that will make you proud and happy to own a Lexus GX. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Hi, folks. We have a new sponsor and an interesting one. We all take about 20,000 breaths a day, and Americans spend about 90% of our time indoors. That indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. And indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So, what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code BITMAN, B-I-T-T-M-A-N, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to our listeners, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use the promo code BITMAN. I'm sort of like Holly. I have an overstocked pantry, so there's never nothing in the house. I should be ashamed to say this, or maybe, but I have three freezers. So there's really never not anything in the house. Last year, I had a freezer filled dedicated to tomatoes. We have a lot of fish. We have a lot of meat. We have a lot of vegetables. There's just never an excuse. But that doesn't mean I don't eat, you know, puttanesco or make ramen or whatever, because that's in the house too. So
my default meal when I don't want to cook is Spam, eggs, and rice. Just easy. I don't even cook the rice. I keep those little Korean microwavable rices in the house and they cook in 90 seconds. While that's going, I fry up the Spam and the eggs and just throw it all on top.
Genius. What a genius.
There's always quinoa. That's always easy. I feel like quinoa is like magical. And all of a sudden you open the pan and it's like, ooh, fluffy. It's like clouds.
Quinoa does not absorb any kind of sauce. I'm not here. I'm not here for the quinoa.
That's so
me,
true.
Bite me. It's fine.
You're Holly so
said
right.
No to the quinoa.
Quinoa found shaking. Quinoa is not going to survive this podcast.
This is a non-quinoa podcast. So
she has a place and a time. It is just not for a saucy dish.
That's true.
Exactly. I think she's absolutely right. I never thought about that until now.
Me either. Because I make it all the time because it's easier than rice. But I also make rice in the pressure cooker because every time I make it on the stove, it's a disaster.
And it's messy. And then you take a bite and it's like, bleep, 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 like everywhere. It's like, I'm like, there's quinoa in my jeans. Like, oh, right here in the crowd. Oh, there it is.
Now that we've gone over dinners, what is a go-to easy lunch? Not quinoa related.
Okay, listen, I'm back on my microwave rice wagon. I'm sorry. But I basically do like a mini sushi bake. So I'll do the microwave rice, chop up whatever seafood I have, shrimp, salmon, sometimes a can of tuna, add a little kewpie mayo, sriracha, or chili crisp, something spicy, sesame oil, mix that up, throw it on top of the rice. Throw it under the broiler and let it get burnty. And That's it. Eat it with a little salad. That's my favorite lunch.
That sounds so good. And like a cheater version of the Sheldon Simeon pan sushi bake.
Exactly.
That sounds good, Holly. Oh.
Yeah.
All these ideas for lunch. Love it.
Yeah. I keep it pretty like more things that you assemble than you cook at lunch, right? So like, again, because I wake up late, breakfast and lunch are kind of a shared experience. So I love like a breakfast taco with like an egg, queso fresco, hot sauce, in a corn tortilla. I have a comal, so because they have an electric stove, so I get that little toastiness on that tortilla happening. And then if not that, then I find all the pita at Whole Foods to be terrible. So I buy the naan instead. And then I make like a quick yogurt sauce, lox, like 7-minute egg, arugula, pickled onions, spiciness, all in the naan. And that's like my favorite lunch. Parsley. Parsley is my favorite salad green. So I try to cover as much in flat leaf parsley as I can.
Okay. I'm going to jump on Kevin's tortilla train. I love that you said tortilla because I always kind of have them in the house. Because my heritage, my grandfather is Mexican. So I grew up eating a lot of Mexican food. My grandfather actually was, going into another question. But my grandfather really taught me the beginnings of my cooking. But I always, because of him, have tortillas in the kitchen. And there's always fresh greens in there. So I always will make some sort of salad mixture with greens of any sort and whatever vegetables I need to like use up. And I'll make like a quick salad. And then I always have a can of white beans. So I'll do that. And I'll do like half of the can of white beans. And then I'll save the other half in Tupperware for the next lunch that I'm going to do maybe that week, a couple days later or something, throw the white beans in. Then I get that going and then I pan fry a tortilla and then I throw the salad and the white beans inside the tortilla and kind of just make a wrap. I will also say I am a sauce person. I love sauces. So that's what you're going to find on the side of my refrigerator. It's more like tons of sauces and weird things. And, you know, you could go spicy with a sriracha or something, or you could go more like vinegary sauce of some sort, but that's usually what I do.
Yeah.
Marky?
I think I eat leftovers for lunch a lot. Or I cook, and it's not that different from dinner. I mean, it might be anything. I mean, once in a while, I take a can of tuna fish and put mayonnaise in it and eat it with crackers. I mean, that's like an emergency.
I actually love doing that.
Yeah. I mean, that reminds me of my mother, so it's kind of sweet and blah, blah, blah. But I do sometimes make soba noodles. I mean, it's so easy to make dashi and then just cook some noodles and throw whatever else in there. And I sometimes do that at lunch. But like I said, it's not that different for me. It's like I just usually cook something. Unless these days there seems to be leftovers almost all the time. So then other days like this week, one day for lunch, I just ate like tomatoes until I couldn't stand eating tomatoes anymore. That was fine also.
Well, just throw them in the freezer when you're done, right?
Trust me.
Mark, I'm very interested in what kind of crackers we're talking about here.
Oh.
Like, are we
salting? Well, Triscuits are good. Triscuits are very good. Wheat Thins, I've decided, are like cookies, actually, under another name.
Why are they so sweet?
They're so sweet. It's ridiculous. What I think they must have been better at one point. I don't know. No. I mean, I also have bread. I mean, I make bread often enough so that there's usually bread around. So I might do that. But yeah. We have Triscuits. We have Wassa, which I don't even know if I like, but somehow I've become like a fan of.
Yeah.
Same. That's exactly how I feel about the Wassa cracker.
Yeah. Someone bought saltines. Someone was staying here. Maybe Kate or when Brian and David were staying here, I think they bought one of those 4 sleeve things of premium saltines.
Yes.
I burned through those, man. They're like potato chips. I mean, they're so addictive.
So when you said the tuna with the crackers, I immediately beeline to saltines.
Yeah.
Because that's what I think of eating tuna and crackers. And, you know, I'm a person that will like have a block of Tillamook cheese next to me and literally scooping tuna, slice the cheese, boom, in the mouth. Like, it's delicious.
Were you at my house last night? Excuse me, sir.
I tell you, Holly, it's so good.
Saltine is always a vehicle for like a I don't know why, but it, like the peanut butter and jelly saltine for me.
Peanut butter on pretzels for me, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. But to both, yes.
Great. I'm a mustard pretzel person.
Oh yeah, that's good too.
I like mustard.
So last question is, we wanted to run around and ask everyone how and when they learned how to cook. Not that we're not all still learning, because we are, but Laven, will you go first?
Yeah, like I said in my last question, so my grandfather is Mexican, and so some of the first memories I remember of cooking with my mother and grandfather in the kitchen was making enchiladas. And my grandfather his family was from Texas and New Mexico, and they made these things that like we made all the time growing up called sopapillas. And we would roll out the dough, cut it up and fry it, and it would bubble up. And it was this beautiful like vessel for the frijoles that my grandfather used to make. And they were so good. So I kind of started, you know, identifying with like cooking at that point. And then I got into college and it kind of fell off, and I was living off of reduced fat Triscuits, and it's all evil. And then I had a moment, and I even put it on my website. I had a moment where I tried to make something with the last $20 that I had after college. I still was trying to work hard and climb the ladder. And I think I had like $20 or $40, and I spent all this money at the store to make, like, I was like, oh, I'll just do a fried rice and just all this stuff. And I just like threw all this stuff together. And as soon as I tried it, it was so disgusting. I literally started crying over the oven. I was so sad because I was just like, what am I doing? Like, I need to learn how to balance out, you know, all these flavors and sauces and all these different things I was just adding. And I had a neighbor who actually was a chef, and she kind of did that on the side from also being an attorney and having two children. It was like this great thing. And I went up to her and I told her, I was like, I really would love you to teach me how to cook better. And her name was Lori. And Lori like kind of just went in there and she said, you're going to come over here twice a week and we're going to go through all of my recipe books, which How to Cook Everything was always up there. And that's how I kind of learned about you, Mark, was through her. And like, we would always go through that book too, because she was like, she always told me, this is a simple book, is like, we'll teach you everything. And she taught me how to cook. And then I just kind of went off on my own out of the nest.
That's so tender.
Yeah, she was like a mom to me.
I love that. It really is scary when you first start out trying to cook and you're just totally panicking all the time. I remember it vividly. And then one day you just sort of don't panic as much. And
yeah,
it gets better and better.
It was the breakdown for me, Kate, like the breakdown of like
breakdown image,
like being emotional and being like, I just crying. And I was just like, you know, and when you get to that point, it's like, you got to do something about it. And it's like, let's learn, let's try and do this. And it worked. Now I cook.
I'll just continue along the Mexican train here.
I love that game.
My family suffers from a lot more toxic masculinity than Laven's Mexican family does. So like none of the men in my family cook. Maybe there's an uncle every now and then. But cooking is definitely something that I watched aunts doing, watched my mom doing. And still, like, to this day, if I'm having trouble with something, I call my Aunt Sarah and say, like, oh, my masa won't float. Or my Aunt Sarah has this amazing ability to, like, take three ingredients and feed 90 people that she learned from my grandmother. I mean, it's just, like, really, it's incredible. Sauces come out of nowhere. Like no water or broth is ever seen. And then this beef is in a sauce. It's incredible. So I call her a lot. And my mom like has like, she taught me just very funny, like little things. Like my mom would do a leftover spaghetti. You put it in a pan with hot oil and a bunch of garlic and shrimp and a little wine and things like that, that I feel like I go to a lot. But I spent, you know, my parents are divorced. My mom worked. And so I think I spent a lot of time kind of teaching myself, trying to like being grateful for the internet and the Food Channel. And then eventually buying my own cookbooks to kind of be like, what do you, you know, how do you do this? I would set like challenges for myself. Like, okay, I'm going to cook a lobster and figure out what that, like how that happens. I was really afraid of cooking risotto for a really long time, and not to like, you know, make this the Mark Bittman show. But like, I remember I Googled like, what is risotto? And I found a recipe that you'd written, Mark. And the intro was like, people are afraid of this. And I was like, me, that's me. I'm people. I'm afraid of risotto. And now it's, I mean, risotto is such another one of my kind of staples. So I kind of set these little challenges. How do you make a Caesar dressing? How do you make a hollandaise? How do you make a broth? How do you cook a turkey? How do you cook a chicken? And I think that was the kind of steady progression of my 20s, was like, okay, what's the next thing I'm afraid of? And then figuring out how to do it. I'm still not great at like butchering. I blame being left-handed. I'm just like a real clumsy person with a knife. Knife skills in general evade me. But yeah, I think I kind of was motivated by what I could learn next.
Knife skills, I'm left-handed too, but that's not it. It's practice or it's necessity. Like, you don't need knife skills if you're not a chef. It just doesn't slow you down that much. If you cook the same recipe with somebody who has knife skills, it might take you a minute longer because you don't have knife skills. It's nice to be able to butcher a chicken. It's true. But I grew up at a time when the only men who cooked, there were no male role models, zero. The only men who cooked were gay, and gay people were in the closet, so you didn't know they were cooking. But it was like, if a man cooked, it was sort of like you assumed he was gay. That was how it was. I was like 18 or 19 before I even really, someone taught me how to cook a hamburger kind of thing. And then when I was 20, I moved in with these three women, one of whom is Karen, is Kate's mother. And these, they were like crazy cooks, really great cooks. And it was like, well, either you're the guy who cleans the toilets or you're going to start cooking also. So that's when I started cooking. And then when I was 20, I lived by myself. The next year I lived pretty much by myself, and I did exactly what you did, Kevin. I just was like, okay, I'm going to learn how to make French fries. I'm going to learn how to bake bread. I'm going to learn how to cook chicken breasts without them being dry.
I did not grow up cooking with my family. We were poor. We ate a lot of takeout. It was a lot of Little Caesars, a lot of KFC. But once I got to my 20s, much like Kevin and Mark, I was giving myself these little challenges, mostly trying to figure out how to recreate dishes I had had at restaurants. And I started sort of documenting that on Instagram, and then people started asking me for recipes, and that's sort of how I became a recipe developer and ended up here. For example, at the beginning of the panoramic, when everyone started making sourdough, I made the pivot to puff pastry, and I decided I was going to learn how to make puff pastry. And it took me 4 months, but I finally got like...
But girl, you did that. I was watching you during the panoramic. Oh, I was watching you, and I was like, this girl is doing it. And I was in my little studio in Seattle, and I'm like, I'm going to try some of this shit. This looks great.
I went through probably about 20 pounds of butter. And just would not
stop. I think
stop.
Seeing you woke slice the butter was my favorite. When you sliced that butter, I was like, and you would use all these cool butters too. That was the other thing. I was like, I didn't even know they had butter like that.
So many butters. And now I'm just making my own butter because I'm being ridiculous.
You're amazing. Churning in there.
Listen, I am half a decision away from buying a cow. I'm making my own milk to make my own butter to make my own buttermilk to make my own tarts. Just It's getting ridiculous. I have a beehive in a shopping cart. I may be buying a hive of bees.
Are you moving to the farm?
I may be buying a farm. We'll see. That's the plan.
Holly, I would love that.
Ugh. Yeah.
I know.
I like that for you. That's,
oh my God.
That's the goal.
I can see that happening.
I just know I'm going to stop eating meat once I get a cow. Once I get a cow, I'm not going to be able to eat beef anymore. I'm just really sad about that. So
that's not true. Come on.
You see? If I make...
Have you ever had beef before?
I know what you
do. You mean it's impossible not to eat it? Is that what you're saying?
You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
I just love it. I just love an oxtail, but if that oxtail has a name, I'm afraid it'll be a problem.
Well, you could buy beef grateful. From other people and you could have dairy cows.
See?
Okay.
Collie, keep us posted on the cow.
Will do.
Today's recipe is for Laven, who is a terrific home cook, but seems to be having a little trouble with cacio e pepe, as you've heard. Cacio e pepe is a simple, very simple recipe, but it is not necessarily easy. This technique I have found, I learned it from my friend Flavio, who is a Roman chef. I think this works consistently. You do need lots of black pepper for it to taste right. That part's easy. Getting the cheese to become creamy can be tricky, but here's the technique. So let's gather ingredients first. This is for four people. You need a cup and a half of grated Pecorino Romano. I can't emphasize enough that you need to grate this yourself. Same with the Parmesan. You need a little less, just let's say a cup. So at least two cups of cheese, preferably two and a half, a freshly grated cheese. A tablespoon of black pepper. Be nice if that was freshly ground also. Plus, you want to pass some at the table. And 3/4 pound of long pasta like linguine or spaghetti. A little olive oil doesn't hurt either. Okay, so put a pot of salted water to boil, enough for the pasta, and in a large warm bowl, combine the cheeses and the black pepper and mash that mixture with just enough cold water to make a thick paste. Spread the paste on the bottom of the bowl. Cook the pasta, and just before it's perfectly cooked. So you've got to start tasting it after 5 minutes or so. Just before you think it's ready, use tongs to transfer it to the bowl. So move the bowl next to the pot. Use tongs to grab the pasta as quickly as you can and get it into the bowl. Don't worry about draining the pasta. You want some of that cooking water. In fact, don't drain the pot either. You may need to add a little water. So then stir vigorously to coat the pasta, adding a little bit of olive oil if you need to, and some of the pasta cooking water if you need to thin the sauce, but only if you need to. It may be that enough water clung to the noodles to make this mixture saucy. The sauce should cling to the pasta and be creamy and not watery, so don't over-add the water either. Then plate and pass a little more pecorino and parmesan at the table. Also more pepper and serve immediately. Should work. Works for me every time. And we will get Holly's recipe for black cacio e pepe scones before too long. That's a promise. Thanks to Kate, of course, who also produced this program, to our friends, Holly, Kevin, and Laven. Spirit and enthusiasm were not in short supply here. Follow Holly on Instagram. That is probably the best food follow you can make. At It's Holly, ITSHOLLY. And on Twitter, Yo, It's Holly. I think you can figure that out. Kevin is on Instagram and Twitter at Kev Becerra. He is a riot, KevBecerra. And Laven's on Instagram at Laven Marez, LavinMarez. Thanks so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe and consider subscribing to our near daily newsletter as well, The Bittman Project. That's bittmanproject.com. Or you can find us at markbittman.com. We will see you next week when we will have somebody really amazing. Bye for now.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.